Okay. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for your attendance. I apologize for the title and the program. It's a little misleading. This project has evolved over the last few months, and I've done some quite different things with the data. So I'm going to be talking this morning about two information technologies, namely crop modeling and remote sensing, and how you can integrate those two to provide more information for estimating certain crop properties. So this slide gives sort of an overview of what my overall goal is, mainly to first combine remote sensing with crop growth models. There are several techniques for doing that that have been researched over the few years. Data assimilation approaches, which attempt to adjust crop model state variables based on remote sensing information, and parameter estimation approaches that run the model many times to optimize certain parameters to minimize error between remote sensing measurements and that simulated by the model. This talk is going to focus mainly on that second one, model optimization. The overall goal being that if we can use remote sensing images to get a good spatial representation of crop growth status, then we can spatially extrapolate these models across the field or region and provide even more information or ability to understand and study the different processes occurring. I define a crop model as a cropping system simulation that contains all the different components of the crop system, including crop growth, development, and yield, nitrogen balance, water balance, energy balance, and in this particular work, I'm going to be discussing the use of ProSail to provide a way to simulate canopy spectral reflectance. The overall goal being to use the outputs of these models, ET, in-fate, crop yield, to improve our irrigation and nitrogen management, looking at our crop responses and environmental impacts of our management practices and coming up with ways to optimize those using model simulations. So the objective here was to focus on linking a couple different radiative transfer models to a crop growth simulation. I'm working with ProSail as one radiative transfer model and a simple empirical NDVI approach, and I'm linking both of those to the DSAT cropping systems model. Using those linked models, then in a model inversion procedure, you can use the remote sensing data as measured in the field to estimate certain properties of interest about the crop. And so the objective here will be to do that and to compare the results between linked versions of these models and standalone versions. The data that we will be used to evaluate these approaches comes from a field experiment in wheat conducted at our location in Maricopa, Arizona last winter. As a wheat study, six different wheat cultivars were planted and five different nitrogen rates were used. That study was planted last December 15th. And over the course of the growing season, we collected a lot of different information to describe those wheat treatments, including weekly measurements of canopy spectral reflectance, weekly measurements of the leaf area index in the field, and about monthly biomass samples to characterize the crop growth and other aspects of the crop biomass. Canopy spectral reflectance was measured using a GER 1500 field spectral radiometer. This is a handheld instrument that measures spectral reflectance in narrow bands, 512 bands between 268 and 1095 nanometers in the visible and NIR regions, a very small bandwidth of 1 to 2 nanometers. These measurements were collected in the morning around a time of 57 degrees solar zenith, and all the digital numbers of the instrument were referenced to a 99% spectral on panel, computing the reflectance of the canopy by dividing the measured canopy radiance of the canopy over the irradiance as measured over the panel. Biomass was characterized on four dates, These biomass samples were destructively removed from the field, and we separated, dissected the plants into plant components, leaves, stems, and boots, dried these samples down to get dry weights. The leaves were run on an area meter to measure the leaf area index, or to estimate leaf area index. And we prepared the samples to be run on a Carlo Erba elemental analyzer to get a nitrogen content of the plant material. We also measured leaf area index in the field, because leaf area index is such a key variable parameter that can be used, both estimated by remote sensing and simulated by a crop model. So we used a LICOR plant canopy analyzer in the field weekly to estimate leaf area index. Of course, we measure crop yield. First transfer model I'd like to talk about is ProSail. This is a model that is a link between the prospect leaf optical model and the SAIL model, which simulates the bidirectional reflectance properties of crop canopies. The model requires 14 input parameters, including several that describe the leaf pigment content, water content. Canopy architecture is described by a few parameters, including the leaf area index and the leaf angle distribution. Solar geometry is required at the time of measurement, and there are a few other parameters. The model simulates then the canopy bidirectional reflectance between 400 and 2500 nanometers in about a 1 nanometer increment. So this will match very well with our spectrometer data collected in the field. As a simpler approach, I've also implemented an empirical model that relates NDVI directly to LAI. There are a few parameters required. The bare soil NDVI and the full cover NDVI are used, and then the actual measured NDVI is weighted in between those. F refers to the fractional vegetation cover, and there are a couple parameters required to describe leaf angle distribution. The crop growth model that I implemented was the DSAT cropping systems model, particularly the series wheat model contained within DSAT. This is a model that can simulate on a daily basis the carbon, nitrogen, and hydrologic processes that occur within a cropping system, simulating wheat growth, development, and yield, and responding to variation in management, cultivars, meteorology, and soils. A basic parameterization or calibration for our field experiment was conducted by setting the soil parameters, the water retention parameters, based on our texture analysis at the field site. Meteorology was obtained from an Azmet weather station about 100 meters away from the field. All of the crop management parameters were specified as actually performed in the field. And we did adjust a few of the cultivar parameters to better match measured and simulated crop responses at the high nitrogen rate. To link the models, basically, since ProSail is also programmed in Fortran, just like DSAT, it was quite easy to just slam the files together and compile it all together as one model. And what I'm doing basically is using the output LAI state variable for the CSM as the input to the ProSail model and the other simpler NDVI model. And then basically what that allows us to do is to simulate on a daily basis the canopy spectral reflectance, or the NDVI, on a daily time step. By then applying inverse modeling procedures, we can invert the linked models to optimize certain parameters of the model, focusing on those parameters that define the leaf area growth potentials within the crop model. And I'm adjusting those parameters to minimize error between measured and simulated remote sensing data. That would be the canopy spectral reflectance for the CSM ProSail linkage, and minimizing error between measured and simulated NDVI for the CSM Chowdhury or NDVI linkage. So here are some results from this analysis. On the top here, I'm showing the plots for the standalone models. So we have the standalone NDVI model and its ability to estimate LAI based on NDVI. the standalone pro sale model, the standalone CSM, and then the linked models down here. And what we find is the CSM pro sale linkage turns out to be the best there, with a relative root mean squared error of 26%. The CSM NDVI linkage did not perform as well, and I have another slide here. I will say the important thing to see here is that this one performed better than all of the ones standalone, without much effort really, just running the optimization and getting this result. The reason for this result, I think, is related to the fact that NDVI saturates early in the season. This plot here shows that 70 days after planting right here, NDVI is at 89% of its maximum, whereas the LAI still has much more room to increase. So because the NDVI is providing little additional information after about 70 days after planting, then it reduces its usefulness for this model inversion problem. Now I'm going to look at the canopy weight simulation. Here we have the crop model by itself. We have the CSM NDVI linked model and the CSM pro sale model. Again, with pro sale coming out on top, able to improve the simulations of canopy weight by inverting these models based on measurements of canopy spectrum reflectance. Plant nitrogen. The standalone model did not perform well at simulating plant nitrogen just out of the box or with minimal calibration. It appears that the parameters are hitting some limit and we're not able to simulate these higher plant nitrogen concentrations. But whenever we adjust the leaf area growth based on our measured NDVI or measured canopy spectral reflectance, we do see an improvement in our ability to simulate plant nitrogen. And finally, crop yield. What we see here is that the standalone crop model it gives a relative root mean squared error of about 13%, and it's over-simulating yield for these lower nitrogen rate treatments. When we use NDVI or we use canopy spectral reflectance to adjust the simulation model, adjust those leaf area parameters, we do see a slight improvement in yield simulation for the NDVI linked model, and we see the best performance again for the model that was inverted using the full spectrum, the canopy spectral reflectance. So in conclusion, what I've done here is to link together radiative transfer models with crop growth models. This provides a more complete physical model of the cropping system and allows us to actually invert the linked model based on our measurements of remote sensing data in the field. I was able to show here that with quite minimal effort, we were able to improve some of the estimates of crop growth properties using this procedure. Future work will focus on testing the effects of the timing of the remote sensing data, because that will certainly affect the performance of the optimization. Fine-tuning model inversion procedures. Here we're just adjusting the parameters that affect the leaf area growth. I also believe that there are parameters about leaf development or development of the canopy in general that could be adjusted using remote sensing data. And of course, in tune with the theme of this session, we also want to aim toward using thermal data to adjust ET and improve water balance simulations as well. So thank you to the contributors listed here, and I can take questions if there's time.